What if I told you that the difference between retiring comfortably and working into your 70s might come down to understanding a handful of simple principles? The stock market isn't a casino where luck determines winners and losers. It's a system with rules, patterns, and logic that anyone can learn. Yet millions of people treat their financial futures with less care than they give to choosing a streaming service. The truth is, stock investing isn't complicated wizardry reserved for Wall Street insiders. It's a learnable skill that transforms how you think about money, ownership, and building lasting wealth. When you buy a stock, you're not just purchasing a ticker symbol or betting on price movements. You're becoming a partial owner of a real business, entitled to a slice of its profits, assets, and future growth. This ownership structure matters because it fundamentally changes your relationship with money. You're no longer just trading your time for a paycheck. You're putting your capital to work, letting businesses generate returns while you sleep. But here's the catch. Ownership comes with responsibility. You need to understand what you own, why you own it, and what could go wrong. Your investment goal determines everything. Building long-term wealth or generating immediate cash flow. Growth investing means planting seeds for the future. Growth companies reinvest profits into expansion rather than paying dividends. Think tech innovators and market disruptors. You're accepting volatility and wild price swings for potentially spectacular returns over decades. Income investing prioritizes steady dividends landing in your account like clockwork. These mature companies operate in stable industries, utilities, consumer staples, real estate trusts. They won't make you rich overnight, but they provide reliable cash flow and calmer nights. Your temperament matters as much as your goals. Conservative investors favor proven companies with decades of profitability. Aggressive investors chase higher growth in smaller companies, accepting elevated risk for potentially outsized gains. Neither approach is superior. What matters is alignment between strategy and temperament. The most brilliant aggressive strategy fails if you panic sell during inevitable downturns.
Risk isn't something to eliminate, it's something to understand and manage. The fundamental equation, greater potential returns, require accepting greater risk. Financial risk is straightforward. Companies can fail. Bear Stearns traded at $170 per share in 2007, then collapsed to $2 in 2008. Examining fundamentals like debt levels, earnings trends, and competitive pressures helps you avoid catastrophic losses. Interest rate risk affects stocks unexpectedly. When rates rise, borrowing becomes expensive for debt-heavy companies, consumers spend less, and investors shift money to higher-yielding bonds. Inflation risk silently kills wealth. Your bank account earning 4% loses purchasing power when inflation runs at 5%. Stocks offer a realistic hedge because companies can raise prices to maintain profitability. Political risk deserves attention. A single regulatory change can devastate industries or create windfalls. You can't predict these events, but you can diversify. The most dangerous risk is emotional. Greed blinds investors during bubbles. Fear causes people to sell quality stocks at the worst moment. Managing emotional risk requires self-awareness and discipline, qualities that separate successful long-term investors from those who buy high and sell low repeatedly.
Exchange-traded funds let you own a slice of an entire industry with a single purchase. An ETF is a basket of stocks that trades like a single stock, offering instant diversification without selecting individual companies. ETFs provide flexibility traditional mutual funds lack. You can buy specific share amounts, place stop-loss orders, use option strategies, and trade throughout the day. This makes them ideal when you spot industry potential but can't identify the best individual company. Different ETFs serve different purposes. Major market index ETFs, tracking the S&P 500, let you match market performance, a strategy that's beaten most professional fund managers over time. ETFs focused on human necessities, food, water, energy, healthcare, often outperform during downturns because demand remains steady.
Dividend-focused ETFs provide stability and income, with high-dividend versions yielding 4% or more for immediate income needs, while dividend growth ETFs contain companies with histories of increasing dividends above inflation. Bearish ETFs rise when markets fall, functioning as speculative bets or portfolio insurance. Successful stock selection starts with analyzing the broader investing environment before examining individual companies. During the California gold rush, suppliers selling picks and shovels made fortunes while miners lost money. Sometimes the best investment isn't the obvious one. Focus on companies positioned to benefit from major societal megatrends like America's aging population or technological innovation. Seek businesses consistently outperforming their industry peers and market benchmarks, with established niches maintaining consistent profitability. Strong brands like Coca-Cola command premium prices and loyalty. High barriers to entry, like UPS's distribution network or pharmaceutical patents, protect market position and support sustained growth. Examine key fundamentals. Sales should grow at least 10% annually. Earnings should match or exceed sales growth. If sales rise but earnings don't, profitability is suffering. Debt should remain stable or decrease. Return on equity of 10% or higher indicates efficient management. For income investors, dividend yield enables quick comparisons between investments. The payout ratio reveals what percentage of earnings becomes dividends. Seek ratios of 60% or lower, ensuring companies retain enough earnings to maintain dividends during downturns. Fundamental analysis tells you what to buy. Technical analysis reveals when. Combining both dramatically increases success when indicators and fundamentals align. Technical analysts identify three trends: uptrends, each high and low surpasses previous ones, bullish; downtrends, each falls below previous ones, bearish; and sideways trends, horizontal movement often preceding breakouts. Chart patterns form a visual language. Head and shoulders, three peaks with a tall center, signals an uptrend's end. Cup and handle shows support building before resuming upward. Double tops and bottoms indicate reversals. Triangles and flags signal continuation. Technical indicators use price and volume data. The relative strength index measures overbought, oversold conditions on a 0 to 100 scale. Below 30 suggests oversold, potential buying. Above 70 indicates overbought, potential selling. Moving averages smooth price movements to reveal trends and support. Stop-loss orders trigger sales when stocks drop to specified prices, typically 10% below market value. Trailing stops automatically adjust upward as prices rise, protecting gains while allowing volatility. Buy at $30 with a 10% trailing stop. Your trigger is $27. If it rises to $50, your stop adjusts to $45, locking in gains. Direct purchase programs let you buy stock directly from companies. Minimal upfront money, no commissions. Dividend reinvestment plans automatically reinvest dividends, including fractional shares. Dollar cost averaging, investing fixed amounts at regular intervals, buys more shares when prices are low, fewer when high, removing emotion from timing. Stock investing isn't reserved for the wealthy. It's a systematic approach anyone can learn. The principles are timeless. Buy quality companies, manage risk, stay disciplined during volatility, and let your investments compound. The stock market has created more wealth for ordinary people than any other vehicle, not through luck or insider knowledge, but through patient application of fundamentals. Your financial future isn't determined by your starting point. It's shaped by the decisions you make today. The question isn't whether you can afford to invest, it's whether you can afford not to.